With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mraz. It was another day of takes, laughs, and memorable moments. Keep it locked here. It's the best of the DA show.
I scroll through the timeline, pick up more links, and realize yesterday was a really special day. That yesterday will forever be a special day. Everybody knows how much I adore Little Mo, a caller to the show for more than 5 years, and a young man that has just been amazing in his fandom for his beloved Orioles and Ravens. And has become a civic icon in Baltimore because of it. He has called our show for many, many years and become really a part of our family here on the DA show. And yesterday, because so many of you as listeners of the show, so many DA-lians and so many of my friends know how close I am to Mo and how much he means to me, sent me this amazing link that I did not know was going to happen. The news story was that the Baltimore Orioles had inducted Mo into their Hall of Fame. Mo Gabba, 14-year-old Mo Gabba. Never suited up once for the Baltimore Orioles, never worked in any capacity for the organization, was inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame. Now, the background on Little Mo is that from the time he was just a toddler, 9 months old, Little Mo had been battling cancers. Little Mo, at 9 years old, had a cancerous growth found on his retina. And so, unfortunately, he was rendered blind at a very young age. Little Mo, for 14 years on this earth, had battled all types of cancers and beat it and beat it back and had done an amazing job just being this amazingly positive spirit. And in doing so, called up Sports Talk Radio. And whether it was this show or whether it was 105.7 in Baltimore, our CBS Sports Radio affiliate, the local teams took note of Little Mo. And the Orioles inducted him into the Hall of Fame yesterday. So alongside Brooks Robinson, Frank Robinson, Cal Ripken, Jim Palmer, and others, there is forever going to be Mo Gabba. And that was so perfect yesterday, because yesterday will forever be. A beautiful day. So where we begin, your cold open.
In recognition of your incredible dedication, loyalty, spirit, and passion, the Baltimore Orioles and the Oriole Advocates are proud to announce that you, Mosilla Mo Gabba, have been elected into the Orioles Hall of Fame. Oh. As the second ever recipient of the Wild Bill Hagee Award, honoring the most dedicated fans of the Orioles.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-
Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
The Orioles inducting Mo Gabba bedside into the Hall of Fame. So whenever you go to Camden Yards, whenever you watch a game on TV at Camden Yards, whenever you see that Orioles logo, somebody wearing that hat, one of their players do something extraordinary, you'll know that forever, little Mo is going to be a piece of that organization's history. And that's what I'll remember yesterday as. I'll remember yesterday as a positive day. Because that's how he would have wanted it. After I got that news, sometime around dinner time, I got the other news that we lost Mo. Last night, 14 years old, little Mo passed away. So, just some thoughts on Mo. Mo taught me lessons that I could have never learned from anybody else. Because how do you define the strength of somebody who at 14 years old has spent 75% of his life in hospitals, who was forever staring down a life of pain and disease? And how do you define the strength of a 14-year-old that never made it about him, nor sadness, nor agony? Little Mo made his life about positivity. He made his life about happiness. He made his life about joy and laughter. And that's my lesson forever. About a month ago, I drove down to Baltimore, and me and the Bourbon Bell visited Mo. And Mo was once again in the middle of a big battle. And I had some sense of where Mo was on this journey. And my sense was that we probably didn't have Mo for much longer. And when I showed up that day in Maryland at his home with his mom, Sonzi, and what many would think was this kind of devastatingly painful situation, little Mo was again light and love and laughter. Little Mo had a smile and a charm and a sense of humor from the moment I walked in to the moment I walked out. And I knew where he was on this journey. And I called him a couple of times after that and spoke to him on the phone over the last couple of weeks, again, knowing that we probably didn't have him for much longer. And again, never anything but a happy Mo on the other end of the phone. He didn't come into this world to be famous, but he became famous because of his spirit. And I'm sad today only because we don't get little Mo anymore in this really selfish way that we don't get little Mo anymore, but little Mo's actually with us forever because his lesson and his love and his laughter is here forever. And little Mo, the videos and the audio and his moments on this show will live forever. We'll honor him forever. But Little Mo taught me something that nobody else could, which is you get to choose your happiness. It doesn't choose you. You're allowed to have bad days. You're allowed to be angry. You're allowed to be sad. You're allowed to be in pain. But the bigger picture is you get to choose no matter what's in front of you. You get to choose how you approach that, no matter what. Little Mo had something that very few people will ever have to endure, thankfully. And from day one, it did not define him and his attitude. He defined his attitude. And by force of personality and by positivity and by laughter and light and happiness, Mo became a celebrity. He's in the Orioles Hall of Fame. The Baltimore Ravens, two-time Super Bowl champions, tweeted out yesterday a graphic that said Mo and said, "Thank you for everything." The NFL's multi-billion dollar Baltimore Ravens tweeted out simply, "Thank you for everything," to Little Mo. So I'll remember yesterday not as a sad day where we lost Little Mo, but instead as a happy day because he was inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame, because the Ravens and Orioles saluted him, and because yesterday is a reminder that simply by choosing your attitude and choosing your happiness, you can change the world. Little Mo changed the world in 14 years on this earth, when most of us are just entering high school, wrapping up middle school. Most of us have no idea what our lives will end up being, no idea where our careers will take us, our families will take us. Most of us at 14 years old, barely getting a grip on this earth, on this life, on this society, on what it means to live. In 14 years, Little Mo changed the world. And how did he do it? He woke up every day and made a choice. Today, I'm happy. And I pass that on to others. He is and forever will be my hero. We lost a great one yesterday, but he's upstairs with a little bit more work to do. And he's smiling down today, laughing and rooting on his Orioles and Ravens. And I love him very much. Mraz, I know you had a lot of affinity for Little Mo as well, and you're wearing your Mo Strong t-shirt today, and from the moment Mo picked up a phone and called us more than 5 years ago here on the show, he knew the bit. Take a run at Mraz.
and let me just start by saying, everything you said about Mo and everything of why we loved him came through in that clip. When have you ever, ever heard anybody that positive and that excited about a guard being drafted late in the NFL draft? Because that was what made Mo so special. But as I try to compose myself, yeah, Mo, I'll never forget the first day Mo called us all those years ago. If I'm terrible at anything else in the job, the one thing I am pretty good at is memory and moments, and it's why I love this state and mothership history that we've been able to do, and why I love the 12 DAs of Christmas. And I remember Mo calling, and I remember answering the phone, and as a young, terrible producer, now instead of just the old, terrible producer I've become, I remember saying to, at the time it was James Ward, I believe it could have been Moralia, who was lost himself. I remember saying, this is a kid calling. Do we put a kid up on the show? And I got in your ear, and I said, "DA, we have a kid calling from Baltimore. Do you want to put him up?" And you, being you and your love for kids, turned to me, and I will never forget this, and you probably have forgotten it. Mraz, you've been working on the show 2-3 years now. How bad of the callers have you heard? How much worse can he be? I said, okay, well, he's got a good point. So we put up Mo, and almost instantaneously, it was like Mo had been sitting there next to his radio for 2 years, 3 years at the time, whenever his first call was, listening to every moment of the DA show. He knew the show. He got the show. He injected himself into the show so seamlessly and so perfect that we all left that segment hysterically cracking up at who is this kid? How funny is he? And from that point on, Mo would call weekly, some nights nightly. And just to give you, again, and I know we've told the story, the background for all the listeners of Mo, look, I've dealt with, unfortunately, a lot of people with sickness, a lot of people with tragedy. It does define them in many ways. DA, it took us upwards of 3 years to know there was ever anything going on with Mo, to know that Mo was blind, to know that Mo had battled cancer how many times. That wasn't how Mo wanted to be defined or what Mo wanted to be known as. He was just this crazy kid that called the radio show. There were times we would have discussions in the control room and say, what do you think is the deal with Mo? Most parents not know he's calling? Does Mo go to school in the morning? Like, that is how funny Mo was and how perfect Mo was on the show that we questioned whether Mo even had a mom. Does Mo's mom know he's calling the show? We didn't know that, you know, he was blind and that was his entertainment and he loved sports radio. And it wasn't until we read something from the Orioles and Ravens where we all turned to each other and went, wow, all this time that Mo has been laughing with us, joking with us, he's been battling this? And that will always stay with me with Mo, where, again, I say, how many little things aggravate me, right? I mean, how many times am I going to go nuts on Pat Shurmur on a bad third or fourth down? That's something, what Mo is dealing with, that you should always be sad about, angry about, like real stuff in life. And he never was. He never was. I wear this shirt today, Mo Strong. I can only hope that my child, my family could be as strong as Mo. I know I have never been as strong as Mo. And it's probably, ultimately, out of a bunch, my biggest weakness. Mentally, as strong as Mo was, physically as strong as Mo was, is unbelievable. It's courageous. And I love the listeners of the show because they get it. We are one crazy family. They will bring up moments. We did those PGP profiles a year ago. They remember things that, again, ironically, even I've forgotten, you've forgotten. Mo got it. And Mo is something I think personally, DA, that when we look back, whenever this ride is over years and years and years down the line, however many times Pete gets angry and cranky at us, I'm a big believer in the 12 DAs of, can you tell the history of the DA show without? Mo, as a child, by not having done with anything he dealt with in real life, just by his infectious personality on the show, is somebody you cannot tell the history of the DA show without. He made the Orioles Hall of Fame yesterday, and that's unbelievable. We don't have a Hall of Fame. We have basically, you know, band numbers and bad jerseys and all that. Mo will never be that. But Mo is somebody you will never be able to tell the history of the show without. And the idea that we've heard his last phone call, the idea that, you know, he's done checking in with us, at least, you know, here, breaks my heart. And, Mo, we love you, buddy. And this job, you know, whenever one day I get up there and we have to reenact this, who knows if we work when we get up there. But this job's all yours, man, because you were always way more qualified for it and you knew how to poke fun at me. And yeah, you would have been way, way better at it than me. And Chubbo Nation salutes you, and you'll always be a member, man. I love you.
Well said, Maurice. Really, really well said. We lost Little Mo yesterday, and so today we're remembering all the great moments that he had here on the show and all the great moments that he had just in general. In 14 years, he did some amazing things. I mean, basically everything he did was amazing, so we'll have Jeremy Kahn joined us from 105.7 The Fan. He became a very close family friend of Mo and Mo's mom, Sanzi, over the last couple of months and really years as well. So we'll have him join us about a half hour from now. Time for your best audio of the day. Here's Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
So your best audio of the day here on the DA show begins with a clearing of benches as the Houston Astros and the LA Dodgers renew their rivalry. Remember the World Series a couple of years ago. Remember all of the bad blood in the spring training portion of the 2020 baseball season between the Dodgers and Astros. And last night it came to a head. Here is Astros radio.
Kelly turning his head to return fire, as Correa also has something to say to Joe Kelly. And now both dugouts empty as the umpires are trying to keep everyone socially distant.
I didn't anticipate that you throw over a guy's head three balls and no strikes. You know, especially, one of our more important guys. You know, I mean, if you're gonna throw at somebody, you don't throw at the head. You know, because then you, I just had, I met Dicky Thon the other day, and I remember that's what ruined Dicky Thon's career. You know, and Dicky Thon got hit in the eye and he was never the same. So, you don't throw at a guy's head. That's playing dirty baseball.
That was Dusty Baker yesterday after the benches cleared, but no real punches thrown. Everybody kind of kept their distance as well. It was a socially distanced base brawl last night. And look, I thought that maybe the Astros and people's resentment toward the Astros was going to wane, was going to be forgiven and forgotten because of everything else going on in the world and because of the reboot and the time off and all of that. At least from a competitive standpoint, these other teams still have not forgotten nor forgiven. I agree with Dusty Baker that throwing at heads is not the right thing. That's a weapon in your hand. That's a baseball traveling at 95 miles an hour. That can do permanent damage. I'm not down with throwing up high. But I can understand teams that want to throw at the Astros or send a message to the Astros and plunk the Astros. That I understand because that is still baseball's frontier justice. And the Astros cheated their way to a championship. Here is Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians on the attempt this football season to keep everybody safe.
I'm very comfortable with our protocols. Now that I've gotten used to the protocols, we had a week of staff meetings where we went through all the protocols, how to teach with a mask on and all the things that we're going to do differently. I'm very, very comfortable with it. As far as on the field, I'll maintain a mask and probably a shield just for personal use and coach like I've always coached. I'm very confident. I think, like I said, the protocols that are in place are extremely safe. And it's going to be coaches, players, and staff being smart outside the building. And, so that part of it, nobody's going to get sick over here because everybody's got a negative test that's in the building.
You know what's amazing is that the Marlins having to be shut down, they're on pause now until next week. They will not play another baseball game at least for a week, and then they'll be reassessed. The Marlins made it feel like this is impossible, untenable, you can't handle this if you're a sports league. And yet, the NBA has had a ton of negative tests. The NHL, the same exact way. They feel completely protected, and now they're inside a bubble even better. And for the rest of Major League Baseball, 29 other teams have not given a positive test. It's only the Marlins. So if you are Bruce Arians, that's what you're hanging your hat on. Hey, the Marlins could be a disaster, but everything else has so far been safe. Aaron Rodgers finally on his thought process when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, the audio courtesy of The Ringer.
When they traded up, I was definitely a little perked up a little bit. And then I got a text because everything's so delayed. I got a text from my agent. He said he just texted quarterback. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. Like I said, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But at the same time, I understand it's a business. The last thing you want is to deal with any negativity around like realizing a childhood dream. So I just told him, congrats, man. I understand what you're going through, man. It's super exciting. I'm excited to work with you, which I am. And I understand it's a business. I understand the nature of the business and not here abdicating my spot by any means. That's not going to happen, but I understand how the business works.
Perfect answer by Aaron Rodgers. A guy that says, hey, I get it. It's somebody else's dream. I'm not going to be negative here. It's not going to be about me. I'm not giving up my job. That's not going to happen. I'm here to compete. I'm here to be the starting quarterback of the Packers. I'm not elated, but I get it. It's a business. absolutely perfect by Rodgers in how he answered that question and hopefully was honest in how he really felt in the moment and how he's handled it since. The man behind it was Jeremy Kahn, and he has been with Little Mo and Little Mo's family for so long by his side. We lost Little Mo yesterday, and he has battled cancer for the entirety of his 14 years. But I wanted to have Jeremy on the show today to talk about his feelings as we remember Mo Gabba. Jeremy, good morning.
What's up, DA? I got to say, it was a little unfair to play that for me. Got the waterworks going early. But, yeah, I mean, the kid was special. And you know it because, I mean, you came down and saw him. And during that radio show, he's just a natural. I mean, he was born to be behind a microphone or in front of an audience. And it's just the little things that I'll remember. And, you know, me being very fortunate to be close with the family and have a chance to see him, you know, 5-6 days a week when I could, in between working and getting over there and spending time with him. But over the past, I'd say, week and a half, he really started to fade. And I got a chance to see him yesterday, probably around 1 o'clock. And I kind of had a feeling that we were close. And I started my show last night, and I got through the first segment going into the second segment and got a text from his mom saying that he had passed. And then I had an interview set up at 6:30. I got through the interview and I just told my audience, I said, I can't do this tonight. I don't have it in me to fake my way through a radio show that I just don't feel like I could finish. So I canceled the show and then went over and spent time with the family last night.
Jeremy Kahn, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, joins us this morning after the passing of Little Mo last night. And if you go on Twitter, Little Mo is trending. Hashtag RIP Mo. He means so much to so many people. You were around him more than anybody else that I know. What do you think it was about Mo that touched so many people so deeply and so genuinely?
Well, I think, first of all, when you hear his story, it does. Like, if you have a heart, it's gonna touch you. He has the most infectious laugh, which I know everyone on your show has heard. When he calls in, and like realistically, you never know what he's going to say. I mean, we were at Orioles Fan Fest, and he told Manny Machado not to get suspended. you know, we're doing the show with John Harbaugh, and he said he thought the Tennessee Titans were a little bit more prepared. And I mean, he doesn't mean it to, like, he's just a kid, and sometimes we forget it because he is so intelligent when it comes to sports, and he knows what he's talking about. And then he's a kid at heart. You're over there with him, and he's watching SpongeBob, and he's enjoying that. But, you know, more than anything, it's just how positive he is. Like, it's so incredible to see a kid that's been dealt the worst hand. I mean, he's been in a hospital over 75% of his life. He's blind, but he doesn't let you know that he's blind. He always says, it's nice to see you. You know, I'm playing video games with him. People go, how does he play video games? I said, well, first off, he hits a ton of buttons. But, like, he's so intelligent that he'll listen to someone else play those video games on YouTube. And then he picks up all the sounds. I mean, he's just an impressive young man. And when you meet him, it really does. It changes your life. And, you know, he stole a big piece of my heart. And, you know, it's kind of weird because at first, you know, I coach basketball here, and I got two kids that are 18 and 17. And I've coached them their whole lives, and I love basketball. And all these kids that I've been coaching, I've become not their father, but I've been like a father figure to a lot of them. Where they come over, they hang out at the house, or I'm taking them to tournaments, or they're spending weekends with me, whatever it is. And at first, it started off with Mo, like, you know, kind of being like that father figure. Hey, how you doing, little guy? And then he became my friend, which is, I don't know if it's strange to say that you befriend a young child. And by the end of all this, it felt like he was my little brother. And, yeah, this one cuts deep.
Well, Little Mo was one of the most special, if not the most special, human beings that I've ever been around, and I think that I ever will be around. And you had this amazing story when I came down to Baltimore and you and I spent some time together about how you guys as a radio station went to his school a couple of years ago, and he was supposed to just say hello on the mic and thanks for being here, et cetera. and he took the mic and basically emceed the rest of the event. He was a natural. He was a ham, and people loved him. Tell us about that anecdote.
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple events, but the first time we met him, he did this really sweet thing where he started calling in, and then we learned about his story. And then he sent us a letter in Braille, but they had it, you know, they actually set it aside, but they wanted us to show it that he wrote it in Braille and then something that we could read it in, asking us to come to his school. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And then I talked to my former co-host, Scott Garceau, who's now one of the voices of the Orioles, about coming in, and he was like, yes. We went down there. We still have the picture up on social media the first time we met him. And Scott was like, hey, let's do who's on first. And I'm like, we started doing that. So these kids, like fourth and fifth graders, and they're looking at us like, what the hell are these guys doing? and then it's like, well, but, you know, they had Mo come up and said, hey, Mo, come tell everybody about these guys. And Mo grabs the mic, and as he goes to introduce us, I mean, he's on the mic for like 10 minutes. Like, he just steals the show. I'm like, why the hell are we eating up here? Because this kid, and these are all kids that he knows. But on top of that, I did a fundraiser for him with Trey Mancini, and there's a group in Baltimore called Be More Around Town that plans like road trips and stuff like that. And they set up this fundraiser. So they had a tailgate before the 49ers game last year. And Mo gets up on stage. He's like, Baltimore, what's up? And then he just keeps revving the crowd up. And you got 49er fans like, who the heck's this kid? That are just, everybody just falling in love with him. And he was so engaging and well beyond his years, man. And I know, like, you getting a chance to sit with him, and I already told you, like, some people get it. It's just so easy to be nice to people. And you know, when you see a guy like Mo, I think it changes you to a degree. I always felt like I was a good person, but I feel like I'm a better person now having, you know, spent some time with him.
Jeremy Kahn joins us, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. You're right. He changes your DNA. He changes you forever. There is nothing that will fade about Mo. Mo will always be with me as strong as ever by just spending time with him and getting to talk to him and hearing him call this show. Your radio show with him, as you co-hosted Mo a couple of weeks ago, was, as I said at the start of this hour, one of the most remarkable radio things, radio segments, shows, moments that I've ever heard. And I think it might be the most remarkable thing I've ever heard in sports radio, because sports radio, as you know, is defined by us complaining about some manager's boneheaded decision, some player that gets paid too much money. It's always the same thing. And for 4.5 hours, I listened to a sports talk radio station, and all it was an outpouring of love that had nothing to do with a team, but just a regular person. What was it like to be shotgun on the Mo show a couple of weeks ago and get to experience all that?
I don't think I'll ever do anything better than that in my entire life. You know, you sent me one of the nicest messages, because you do this for a living. You understand what it's like, whether or not you're trying to get in and out of breaks, make sure the show flows. At times, Mo could be, like, unbelievably talkative. But then again, you got to realize he's a kid, and sometimes there's short answers. And as the show went on, I could see he was getting a little bit more tired, even though he was still very ramped up during the commercial breaks. and so there's an ebb and flow to it that I tried to do justice. And you sent me a really sweet message telling me that you thought I did a great job with just guiding it along and being there when I needed to be there. But, you know, just like I won't forget the commercial breaks and the conversations we had. And then, you know, my mic goes out and he goes, uh-oh, Jeremy's mic just went out. I guess you're going to have to listen to me for the rest of the night. He was ready to take it over, man. And, you know, joking with his mom and the fallout from the show, the outpouring of love. And you mentioned that he's trending. Like, if I get on Facebook or Twitter right now, almost every single message is about Mo. And it just shows you, like, how many people he's touched. We had Adam Jones calling from Japan. After the show was over, there were plenty of people that couldn't get in. Stone Cold Steve Austin has been calling him routinely every Sunday. Robert Downey Jr. sent a video from Maui. You know, like, it's crazy that we were able to get that. And just a couple days ago, Manny Machado sent a video, and Manny said he was thinking about him. You know, it's just like that night. I had a conversation with my wife, and I'm like, I don't know that I'll ever do anything as good as this. And I actually talked to her about, you know, getting out of radio and just saying, you know what, because, I mean, I'm a mess right now, and I'm actually surprised I'm holding it together as well as I have been, because last night was just, it was rough. So, you know, once I found out that he had passed during my show. I raced over there, and I did get to spend some time, you know, with the family, hold his hand a little bit. You know, it's one of those weird things, but tell him how I feel about him. I don't know, man. It's just, you know, that show is something that I'll never forget. And I kind of rushed things to a degree because I thought that this may happen. And it's really weird when you have, I don't want to say you have a secret, but you know something that you can't tell everyone. And you want to tell everyone how important this is, that you get involved and you're a part of it. But you don't want to overstep and say something you shouldn't, because it's not my place to tell everybody what Mo's going through. And I'd always try to allude to it or, like, let them know without, you know, as I said, overstepping. But we just had so many people that wanted to be involved with it. We raised so much money for them. We just had a fundraiser on Sunday that raised another $11,000 for the family. So now we figure out where we go from here, and the family has to pick up the pieces. And I just can't stop thinking about his mom, Sanzi, who's just an absolute warrior for all that she's been through.
No doubt. And as you say those words, I'm sure I have listeners out there, all of them saying, if you need us to help, we will help. So you say the word, and I'm sure the D'Aliens will be right there behind you to support the family and whatever it is that needs to be paid for in this time. I can remember exactly the feeling that I had listening to you and the Mo show, because it was 4th of July weekend, and I was at my in-laws' house, and we were outside of the backyard, and I was streaming your show, Mo's show, on my phone, and my wife was next to me and one of my best friends next to me, and we were marveling at how beautiful the whole thing was and how remarkable it was that every single guest was just this celebrity or major athlete or somebody that everybody knew or somebody so dear to him, close to him, a teacher, a friend, or just a general Baltimore listener, and everybody had the same outpouring of emotion. And when I think about John Harbaugh, Buck Showalter, Ray Lewis, multiple Orioles, Adam Jones, Trey Mancini, etc., all of them really earnestly needing to tell Mo, hey, you're my hero. Hey, you mean a lot to me. I said, this is amazing. And you did do such an exquisite job of guiding it along, but allowing Mo to really flourish and shine. I want to know, these athletes, these coaches, these teams, they see a lot of people in distress and they do a lot of great things in the community. It feels like Mo struck a different chord with Harbaugh, with the Ravens, with the Orioles inducting him into the Hall of Fame. What do you think it was about Mo that really touched a group of people that routinely come into contact with people that have had health issues and other issues in the community?
You know what it is? It's that, I mean, go, if you don't listen to any part of the show, just listen to the first 3 minutes and it'll tell you everything you need to know about Mo. Mo gets this gift of where he gets his own show and gets to talk about whatever he wants. And the first thing he wants to talk about is his friend Justin that died of cancer the night before. And he does a moment of silence for him. And it's so cute, too, because I tell Mo, I said, hey, we can do a moment of silence for as long as you want. And then he picked 6 seconds. I don't know where he came up with six, but we did, you know, 6 seconds of silence for his buddy Justin. And, I think it's the stuff like that that you can kind of see with him. And people understand that. You know, he's a kid, but he's just got the biggest heart, and he's so positive about everything. And I think that's what comes through. Even some of the Orioles that, like, most people wouldn't know, and some of the players, like, you know, he's touched those guys where they reach out. And I had people begging me to be a part of the show. Like, hey, please let me be a part of the show. Please let me call in. I've got messages from athletes yesterday after he passed that were either sent to me or sent to someone else about how much he meant to them, and, you know, they'll never forget him. And then on the day where he got inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame, so there was all this stuff that was going on, and we were rushing it, where they sent the Orioles set up something where we were going to get a note in Braille, and it was being mailed to my house. And we had these awful storms, and they were unable to deliver it. So one of the guys, a local guy that's been involved with all this too, Eric Arditi from Barstool Sports, he drove all the way to York, Pennsylvania, and picked up a Braille copy of it. And took it down, and that's what they read. If you saw the video, one of his family friend and Braille teachers read it to announce that he was getting in the Hall of Fame. And he was supposed to get sized up, so I believe he was going to get his own uniform. So, I mean, he missed out on a little bit of stuff, but he got to experience so much. So I mean, I think it's all those things that he encompasses that is important.
You knew him as well as anybody besides his mom, I would say. And so I think the most important thing about Little Mo today is carrying on his message and forever embodying his message. In your words, in your heart, what do you think Little Mo's message should be for all of us?
I think it's just be positive, be kind to one another. That's the thing that, at least in my mind, he's always said, you know, no matter what's going on, he tries to stay positive and think about the good thing. And, you know, I thought long and hard about this last night because, I mean, I was throwing my own little pity party. And look, I'm allowed to sit here and cry. I'm a grown man. I'm not afraid to cry. He's taught me a couple different things. And I felt like a part of me died with him last night. But truth be told, a big part of him is just going to live on with me. And I started doing this thing with my friends, which, I mean, it sounds really silly, and I'm not trying to be corny, but I have a close-knit group of friends that are like family, and, you know, six, seven different guys, and we tell each other we love each other all the time because you just never know when something's going to happen. And I feel like that stems from Mo and just how much, you know, how much joy and how much positivity he brings into the world. So, I mean, my goal now is to make sure nobody forgets him, and there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, but, you know, it started with the Orioles putting them into their Hall of Fame, which I think is awesome. And, I'll be watching the Orioles play the Yankees tonight, and that's a weird thing in and of itself because of what happened with the Marlins, and I'm sure they'll have something for them, and I can't wait to see what they put together.
Well, from the very deepest part of my heart, I thank you, and I think a lot of our listeners feel the same way. I know my crew feels the same way, that we had somebody like you with him for so long, especially at the end when it felt really good to have somebody who loved him by his side, playing video games with him, spending time with him, and being a conduit to him like you were for all of us. And your momentum and your energy to get that show done for him from his bedroom in the last month of his life is an extraordinary feat. And I know how much he touched you, and you did him such a service and an honor that nobody else could have done. So we all thank you very, very dearly, and we are right here with you. The DA Show forever will fly the flag, and however it is that we will remember Mo, however you want to remember Mo, we are right here with you.
Hey, look, I told you this before, man. I appreciate you, and you said it. He's done way more for me than I think I could ever do for him, but this was a friendship that I'll never forget. And again, DA, appreciate all that you guys did and everyone out there that's helped. It's been pretty incredible, and the outpouring, even now on social media, it's been overwhelming. I still have over 100 messages I haven't responded to, and I haven't even checked my email yet. So just tells you enough about him.
Jeremy, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right.
Jeremy Kahn, Baltimore's 105.7 The Fan. He's an extraordinary guy, Jeremy is, and I feel so thankful that Mo had him by his side for these last couple of weeks. And what Jeremy did silently behind the scenes, I'll never forget, I'll always appreciate, and it says a lot about Jeremy that he pushed so hard for so many of these things for Mo. We lost Mo yesterday, but yesterday was also the day that Mo got inducted into the Orioles Hall of Fame. So, as Mo would have it, time to smile and laugh and think of the positive. He'll always be with us here on the show. I've got a lot of ideas for the DA Show to honor Mo as well, continuously from here on out. So I'll unveil those when the time is right. And tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I'm hosting a toast to Little Mo. If you're on Instagram, I invite you to join me on Instagram Live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Sun's going to be just about setting, and I want to toast to Little Mo and have all of you guys part of it as well. So you can follow me on Instagram @Damon Amendo. And at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I'll send out that alert, and hopefully you can log on and spend some time with me. You could also watch it if you don't have Instagram, at watchda.com. But tonight, I want all of us to be together to salute Little Mo. Because last night I saw the most amazing sunset when I got Jeremy's text message about Mo. And it was Orioles orange. And I'm not joking. It was no other kind of orange. It was Orioles orange this sunset. And I want to toast to Mo for tonight's sunset with all of you.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Let's go back 6 years ago on this date, 2014. We were still doing overnights, and Mraz did not like when I used the term rolls. Here's the clip. Mraz, why do you have a problem with me saying you have rolls?
When you say rolls, that's not how it looks. There's crevices.
Okay.
There's a little extra overhang. Uh-huh. But rolls is just very descriptive and very rude, quite frankly.
You think it's rude?
I would argue it's very rude and very offensive.
Let me ask you this. Anatomically, am I correct?
Depends. I'm not a 20...
Depends?
Well, here's what I'll say. When I'm sitting down, do I have what in slang terms would be called rolls? Sure. But when I stand up, I'm not a 25-year-old John Candy here. I got it. Everything kind of falls into place.
I've seen you standing up in the Vegas pool. There's a picture of that on our Facebook page, and that looks pretty rolly to me.
My movies might hang over a little bit, but for the most part, no. No, go back. You have that picture of me next to
I think there's four layers of rolls there.
Yeah,
you got the
moves,
you got the upper gut, the mid gut, the lower gut, and then like the
here's the thing. You
space
can
in
see,
between, you know what I'm saying?
You can see the lines there because when I was sitting down getting tan, I got tan lines in between the crevices, so it looks like I have quote-unquote rolls there. I just think rolls should be added to that lexicon.
That is not tan lines. Look, Mraz, I'm looking at the picture of you in Vegas right now. You are standing in the pool shirtless. You've got solid moves there, and those are B's. Right?
Those are almost C's.
I respect you for saying solid because I have been working out my chest at the gym.
Okay. There's no ab that goes from side to side.
Come on. He's got his shirt up back here now.
I have it right here in the flesh. Look at all the pictures you want. I got it here right now, and there is nothing. 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 You can see tan line, as I said. You want to talk about it? You want to talk about the rolls? Now you get rolls in your face.
This is not... I'm going to bomb.
Now Kenny
everywhere.
Has to deal with it. Have fun making that motion picture.
Are you going to sit or stand for the back shaving tomorrow?
You got to stand because, as I said, if I sit, I could get a little back hang. So I'm going to stand to make
sure. What's a back hang?
It would be almost like a roll. Like I have a little portion of my back that might... That might fold over, and that could be more prone to get nicked with a razor. And then that could also leave for a mispatch. I'm going to stand and arch, just bellow out just so, and that gives me the nice picture like when you see a pinball machine stand up, how it's kind of like on an angle like that. That's how I got to stand. Picture me as a pinball machine.
You have to love the old school clips with Kenny Brock just taking Mraz to task. No, I see three or four rolls there. You got the upper move, the lower move, upper gut, lower gut. This date in mothership history. You know, it's funny how your mind makes you believe you're a different person than you are. Because in my mind, the show over 7.5 years has evolved. We've added new things. We've added new dynamics. I'm a different person than I was 7.5 years ago, married now, with a house, living in the burbs, totally different person. And yet, I hear a clip from 6 years ago and go, that's exactly the same show as we would do today. Nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. And why am I deluding myself? The show is the same as it's always been. It'll never change. Why would I ever think differently? Us talking about whether Mraz admits he has moobs, rolls, and is getting his back shaved will probably happen by the end of today's show as well, just like it happened 6 years ago to this date. We are nothing if not remarkably consistent, probably to our own detriment.
At DA, the real key there is the tease ahead. That was one show, and the following night we would be shaving my back. So it's basically, we were already setting up what would happen the next day. Yes, it is absolutely the same. That same person mimicking standing up like a pinball machine with excuse making, by the way, for tan lines for moobs, 6 years later did something in his pants while taping a PGP. So, yes, the show sounds exactly the same.
Consistent.
Can I ask you, did we shave your back in studio that night?
Yeah, the next night, yes, we did. We were running a play for, we were going to film it and put it on Facebook and all of that. because I had talked about how hairy my back was, and I purr like a walrus. I remember that specifically. Gross. And you wanted to see if I'd purr like a walrus on Facebook and see how it was. So the deal was Schwartz would shave my back, and I would shave Schwartz's back.
Oh.
The anecdote is when we came
the
to
anecdote
work
is the razors went on strike.
We brought in the razors, the water, the shaving gel. It was going to be a very big to-do. And clearly, bosses were not listening at these hours. If there was any way we could prove that. And Schwartz, at about, I would say, 6 hours before we were due to come in, shot me a text and said, hey, I'll still shave your back. You don't have to shave mine. Right away, win for me.
Thank
Number
you.
Two, the reason he wanted to bail was he had said, I'm talking to my wife. I have too many skin tags. I don't need it. And he wanted to bail on having his back shaved on Facebook for the world to see him shirtless and to be bleeding out his back.
Oh,
that
man.
Was the bit.
Oh, God. I actually got a little nauseous when you just said that, and I had to envision that. It's only 7:51 a.m. Eastern time, and now I've got to envision that. Tough times.
That's
tough,
behind
tough
the
times.
Music right there. And by the way, it tells you, you think we are thankful for the NBA and NHL starting this weekend? July 29th, 2014. There weren't nothing going on. That's what we were talking about doing.
Crevices?
How the hell did we get away with so much? I mean, I guess we were just thankful.
Talking about me getting promoted, DA. How did the show keep getting promoted? We did a back shaving bit after talking about moves in 2014. 6 months later, we were in evenings.
All hell was breaking loose in the overnights. Also, you got to remember that by July 2014, we were in year number two of doing overnights, and I was absolutely going insane. I was not sleeping. I was single. I was unable to have any social life. Couldn't go on a date. Every time that I did go on a date, I mentioned I was the overnight host on a sports radio station that they had never heard of, and they're like, okay, yeah, right, you're the janitor, I'm sure. And so they just upped and walked away. I was looking at you every single day with your shirt off, with your back being shaved. I'm watching Schwartz, I mean, just pound the snack machine every single day for three different bags of mini muffins, two different Kit Kats, bringing in 3 liters of Mountain Dew. And I'm like, what the hell is my life? What is going on here? You know, I'm going home to nobody at 7 a.m. in the morning, trying to fall asleep in the middle of the day, listening to garbage trucks in Brooklyn bash through my neighborhood. I'm like, what is my life right now? And so I think by July 2014, I had just absolutely mentally checked out. Okay, let's just shave Mraz's back in the middle of the night. Let's see. Hey, even if we get fired, at least somebody's noticing that we're on the air in this company. It was like a kid acting out. Mom, Dad, just notice us. We exist.
A month earlier, I had a near heart attack from eating Chinese food an hour before the show and had to break out a Pop-Tart because I thought I needed something sweet and didn't know what heartburn and indigestion was.
Mraz ate Chinese food, had heartburn, and said, I better eat a Pop-Tart. That was his rationale. And basically, we documented that like it was March Madness. Okay, what's the heart palpitations look like right now? What are we doing here? Is it an upset by the 16 seed? Is he going to survive? All right, tonight we'll attempt to eat 4,000 hot dogs inside the studio. Will anybody die? Maybe then we'll get noticed. Those were the days when Mraz, speaking of sports returning, you saw a little bit of exhibition hockey last night. And you were jazzed, you were juiced. You're going to be the anchor of Canadian Bacon, our morning recap of the night that was in the Stanley Cup playoffs. What'd you think about the action last night of the ice?
So I caught a lot of the Penguins-Flyers game, and then last night the Canadians-Maple Leafs. And I will just say this. Obviously, I am, for any of these sports coming back, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, I'm going to chill out and I'm going to be excited just because I love sports and I've missed sports so much. But so far, and I've enjoyed all of their returns, the NHL to me on TV last night looked, I think, the cleanest and most well done of the other three. It looked like hockey. It felt like hockey. You realize the sounds of hockey, the skates going into the ice, the pucks against the boards, all of that, I guess, sound that is not crowd-related still came across the same way it does. The crowd sound was pumped in. And the way they have tarped over the seats and put up the screen, similar to the way the NBA did, I just think plays so well with the NHL camera angles. And I thought also the teams on the ice, for those each being exhibitions, they're only getting one exhibition before the games become for real. And for many of them, elimination games. I thought the hockey looked like it was basically late March and they were ready for the postseason. I'm shocked at how sharp it was, and it looked awesome on TV. I am jazzed up.
You know what you realize is that baseball suffers the most from no fans in the building, because baseball's pace is so slow that when it's standing still, there's literally nothing happening. Nobody is saying anything. Nobody is moving. And without fans in the stands, it feels really still. In the NBA, when we've seen these exhibition games, you know, guys are moving up and down the floor. You're hearing the squeaking of the sneakers. The video board that is on the back wall of your television screen takes up a lot of space. And then you're seeing the benches kind of spread out along three rows on either side of the court. You don't get a sense that it's an empty arena. And NASCAR, you're not really watching NASCAR races with fans and for fans. You're hearing the roars of the motor. In fact, I was listening to NASCAR on radio a couple of weeks ago, and you would have never known that there's nobody in attendance because you're not seeing it. You're just hearing the motors and hearing everything go around and around and around. And baseball suffers the most because, as you're saying, in hockey, the puck, the crashing against the boards, the goal horn, all of that stuff is just happening anyway. And if you tarp off the seats that we would normally see, the glass, the seats on the glass, how would you even really be able to tell if you had artificial noise involved that anything is different? In baseball, it is so stark because you cannot ignore every part of baseball's camera shot shows you fans that are not in the stands. And when they are not doing anything, it is still and quiet and silent. But I'm guessing that, as you were saying, I didn't see it last night, but that hockey could carry itself, especially if you have a little piped-in crowd noise.
It does, and I'm trying to compare everything, and the only baseball comparison you could have is, ironically, like an Orioles-Marlins game where there'd be nobody there, and that's how it would look on TV. For basketball, it has a similar look to how it would kind of look in the Olympics, and for hockey last night, it reminded me of an indoor version of the Winter Classic, because you don't get any fans for, I mean, yards and yards along the hockey glass when you watch the Winter Classic, and that is the one event that draws casual fans to hockey. So if that's the event you watch for the NHL every year, you know, tuning into this and not seeing fans on top of the ice and just kind of seeing that space, even though it's so tightly tarped and perfectly done with the video boards, is going to give you kind of a Winter Classic feel anyway. So in many ways, it's kind of like when I watched yesterday, I jumped right in, and it felt like I've been there before with hockey and not having the fans like that. And I think that's because of the outdoor games. But yeah, it looked really clean. And the sounds of the game, I think more than even the sneakers squeaking in the NBA, are there for hockey, where like that is just the natural sound you get anyway.
It's going to be a big win for hockey here because, as you said, the TV product won't suffer. And they've got two different bubbles. And so you don't have to cram everything into one arena. So logistically, you've got a little bit of space there. Both of the bubbles are in really great arenas. You know this as well as anybody. Edmonton's arena is state of the art. It's absolutely gorgeous. And Toronto's is the epicenter of hockey, being in Toronto, the Air Canada Center. So where they will play will feel big time. And they're playing in Canada, where inside a bubble, it's going to be really protected and safe because Canada's done a great job of limiting the virus. So I think Canada and hockey, that relationship and connection here, is setting Stanley Cup playoffs up for a really successful run. I'm excited to cover it here on the show. I'm excited about Mraz's Canadian bacon. It's going to be a morning segment where we have a goal of the game or goal of the night, a player of the night, and a soundbite of the night. And Mraz, I hope that you're taking your notes, because I already have the production elements and it is amazing. You got to live up to the production elements.
I am extremely excited. In fact, I plan on, again, because there's a lot of games on national TV today, scrimmages, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I'm kind of do my own trial run in front of my wife a little bit later tonight just to see how she thinks it sounds. Because I am trying to take this seriously. Look, we had that whole bit with Alliance Primetime. I know, and I know there will be a lot of people maybe in the South, not from hockey markets, rolling their eyes going, do we need the hockey segment? But I know that the hockey audience is an underserved sports radio audience, and there are a lot of fans out there who are looking forward to this postseason, and I want to deliver to them, even if it's 3 minutes long, the best damn 3 minutes I can and give some acknowledgement to. We're going to have a fun Stanley Cup playoff that I know a lot of people are excited for.
Well, I'm fired up about it, and I'm glad you're taking it seriously. AB, how do we think that the dry run's going to go tonight with Danielle as the audience?
Yeah, I just feel bad for her. Of all the things on her plate that Sean puts there, she now needs to listen to him doing a dry run of Canadian bacon about exhibition hockey. Maybe she wants to go to bed, you know, long day with the baby. Maybe she wants to unwind with, I don't know what she would normally watch. But now all of a sudden, Sean and his non-roles are waddling in, asking her to listen to a Rangers-Islanders breakdown.
I mean, and speaking of on the plate, you know, last night, she's trying to do this diet. We're all trying to lose weight. I'm making these low-point foods. I made her some tremendous grilled chicken, and she started doing the thing where she fake choked, talked about how dry it was. Instead of being thankful that I put a literal nice, healthy dinner on the plate, I'm sitting there and the whole time trying to eat dinner, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. No, I just need a little sauce here. So you know what? She better sit there and she better listen to Canadian bacon, because I sat and made and slaved for a beautiful dinner for her, and she had to mock me for 20 minutes about how dry it was. And that's the kind of life I'm living right now.
Well, I'm sure this will go then swimmingly well tonight as you break down some Calgary Flames highlight and she starts pretending to gag. The segment stinks. Sean, it's too dry. This highlight is too dry.
I mean, just text your friend that your husband made some dry chicken. You don't have to mock me for the 20 minutes while we're eating. I get 20 minutes of dinner with you. You're basically fake choking the whole time. It wasn't that dry.
AB is in with our headline of this morning. AB, what do we got?
These ones are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. The Houston Rockets got an injury scare last night in their scrimmage finale at Disney World. Eric Gordon twisted his left ankle, left the court barely putting any weight on that foot. Head coach Mike D'Antoni couldn't and wouldn't give much info postgame.
You know, it hurts a little bit. He doesn't really swell, so we don't know until tomorrow, the extent of it. But, you know, he's going to be out a few
days.
Didn't
know that was a thing. Apparently, Eric Gordon doesn't swell up when injured, befuddling Rockets trainers. They are reportedly worried Gordon will miss 1 to 2 weeks. Their first real game is Friday night. Zion Williamson is out of quarantine at Disney World. He was on the court a bit of practice last night. He'll do more today, and then the Pelicans decide if he'll play Thursday's opener with the Jazz. The Lakers and Clippers follow that one. Anthony Davis may miss it, still in discomfort after getting poked in the eye during a scrimmage last weekend. In their first meeting since the cheating Astros beat the Dodgers in the 2017 World Series, LA reliever Joe Kelly threw behind Alex Bregman last night, then cursed at Carlos Correa after striking him out. Benches cleared briefly, but no actual brawling. The Dodgers won the game 5-2. Josh Donaldson homered in his Target Field debut. The Twins and their new third baseman beat the Cardinals 6-3. The Padres 5-3 winners in San Francisco, and the Cubs down the Reds 8-5. Two homers and three RBI for Javi Baez. As you know by now, the Marlins will not play again until Monday at the earliest. The Phillies are paused through tomorrow. The Yankees and Orioles will now play each other in Baltimore tonight and tomorrow, all because of the reported 17 positives within the Marlins. Yes.
I cannot believe, by sheer, obviously everything happened with the Marlins scheduling, Mo will get to tease me one last time as the Orioles absolutely destroy the Yankees tonight. They were not supposed to play tonight in Baltimore. Of all the nights for a random rescheduling because of everything going on in baseball, my Yankees happen to be going to Baltimore for the Orioles' first game since Mo has left us, and there's absolutely going to be one last tease. The Orioles are going to tee off on Gerrit Cole for about 9 runs tonight, and that'll be Mo teasing me from above. Ha ha, Mraz, gotcha again.
We jump to football. The Chargers and Joey Bosa shaking hands on a big money extension. It's reportedly worth $102 million guaranteed dollars over five seasons. That's the richest contract in team history. Bosa's already getting $14 million for this season under his rookie contract. And the quarterfinals of the MLS tourney at Disney now complete. Minnesota United outlasted Columbus. Then Portland got by FC Cincinnati, both in PKs. The next round begins tomorrow night. And now, why don't we get stunned?
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So today, in Stunned to a News, we try to make Pete's head explode. There is a body of water between Peru and Bolivia. Now, if you want to know more about those countries, please DM Sean at MirazCBS. That body of water between Peru and Bolivia is called Lake Titicaca. Conservationists are studying that entire region, and they say a particular frog is one of the keys to the area's health.
Okay.
That frog at Lake Titicaca is called the scrotum frog.
Oh,
it
boy.
Is different shades of green and can grow up to 8 inches long and up to 2 pounds, so it would not worry about communal showers at college. But it is called the scrotum frog because, I kid you not, because of the folds and creases in its skin. So it, in fact, looks like a scrotum frog. Anyway, the frog is endangered, so officials in South America and our Denver Zoo are now working hard to revive the population so the entire health of Lake Titicaca improves. How you doing, Pete?
It's all too perfect. Now, 4 years ago, 10,000 scrotum frogs perished from unconfirmed causes. Now, I don't know how 10,000 frogs just somehow disappear. My guess is for scrotum frogs, a lot of vasectomies that year, but 10,000 scrotum frogs just ended up perishing, and that's a real concern. So I hope that we can get the scrotum frogs back up. Apparently they're trying to grow tadpoles in zoos, as you mentioned, and restock the population. But my next thing is, why can't we just call these animals by honorable, respectable names? Like, I hear scrotum frog and I go, did you really have to do that? Why can't we just call it, like, the bulbous frog or the baggy frog or, you know, whatever, the king frog, the queen frog? Why does it have to be the scrotum frog?
DA, there's already a bullfrog. Just call it the bullfrog. I think that'd be the perfect name for it at that point.
Call it the bullfrog?
No, you have a bullfrog. Call this one the ball frog.
The ball frog, right.
Yes, I think that's the...
Just, why does it have to be the scrotum frog? Because it reminds me of the penis fish. You know, these things that are... they're washing up on the shores of China, and they're named the Chinese penis fish for obvious reasons. And why does anybody have to name it that? Just name it like the fat worm or the name it.
The
I don't
fat
know.
Worm. Also, my
the
second
shrimp
grade
cocktail.
I mean, the other name for the Chinese penis fish is the fat innkeeper worm. I don't even know if the fat innkeeper worm is any better. But all I know is this. You've got these really smart ecological scientists. They're working in the animal kingdom. They're honoring nature, which we should all do. They're honoring wildlife, which we should all do. And yet, at the end of the day, the best they can come up with is, yeah, this one kind of looks like a Balzac. Let's just name it the scrotum frog. And this is like thick and bulbous. Let's just call it the Chinese penis fish. Are we done here? Are we good here? It's like you couldn't spend any more time just thinking of something a little bit more scientific. It had to be the scrotum frog or the penis fish. I mean, come on. Stop disrespecting these animals. They deserve better than this. You wouldn't name your dog, hey, come over here, penis dog. You wouldn't be like, oh, yeah.
Somebody check in on Pete, make sure he's all right.
Are we still on the air? How do we check that?
You're right in a 5-minute break.
Yeah, we are right now. We're playing Joey Waller's elevator music right now.
Yeah, we're on pause longer than the Marlins at this point.
You know, nobody buys a frog for their 6-year-old daughters. Like, yay, here's your scrotum frog, honey. You know, it's like, no, we call it, what, Bob or, I don't know, Ribbit, or we call him Frogger or something.
Bob the ball frog.
It's so disrespectful. These scientists that named these two animals have been really lazy, and I would encourage them to rename them so they don't get disrespected and laughed at. We're just laughing at them. Even though this frog had nothing to do with it, and neither did the penis fish.
Are you mean to tell me, Bogish, and this is where I think the scientists, and I'll side with you, that the scrotum frog basically only exists in Lake Titicaca? Is this what we're led to believe here? And these two are not related?
Well, I mean, naming-wise, I don't know which one came first or who was in on the joke or not. But, yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, these particular frogs are extra important to this particular region, which happens to be called the Lake Titicaca region, and it's the scrotum frog. Yeah, so worlds have somehow collided here, whether on purpose or not.
And do we know if that's salt water or fresh water?
It's a lake, so it's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
And then my last question of abundance of questions is, much like Michael Jackson and the Jacksonville Zoo, what is it about the Denver Zoo that they need to get involved in the business of Lake Titicaca and what's going on with the scrotum frog? Like, who at the Denver Zoo, of all the zoos, Denver was like, look, we got, that's it, scrotum frogs, Titicaca, that's on us. We're
yeah,
there.
That falls on John Elway's quarterback decisions. They're like, there's nothing else going on here. We got to start raising scrotum frogs. It's been a tough 4 years here.
We got a free tank. What should we do? Scrotum frogs. I'm in.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, today's Advanced Analytics is a snapshot into the Orioles Hall of Fame because Mo Gabba, our friend Little Mo, was inducted yesterday into the Orioles Hall of Fame, just hours before he passed away. The Orioles Hall of Fame was conceived in 1977. There are 78 inductees in the Orioles Hall of Fame. He's only the second fan ever inducted. The other fan inducted was Wild Billy Hagee, known for his O-R-I-O-L-E-S Orioles chant. So how about that? Wild Bill and Little Mo, the only fans in the Orioles Hall of Fame. That's how special Little Mo is. Wild Bill was inducted in 2008. Also, in 2017, 3 years ago, Little Mo threw out the ceremonial first pitch as part of kids' opening day for the Orioles. And here's some of the names in the Orioles Hall of Fame. Cal Ripken Jr., Frank Robinson, Brooks Robinson, Jim Palmer, Eddie Murray, Earl Weaver, and now Mo Gabba. Pretty awesome. That is your advanced analytics this morning. It's time now for your question of the day, brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can always tweet at me, DA on CBS. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. I just want to take this moment to remember Little Mo through all of you guys. I thank you so much for all of the tweets that I've gotten. Some really kind text messages as well from friends, especially those in the industry. But you guys, the D-Aliens, have such big hearts. Thank you. Mikey tweeting, can't believe he's gone, but what a tremendous person that handled some bad adversity, but just kept pushing and smiling. He taught us all to be better. Hashtag Little Mo. Mike tweets, man, I'm tearing up a little bit at my desk hearing his laugh. I love that dude. R.I.P. Mo. Lonnie tweets, I was very sorry to hear Little Mo's passing, sending prayers to his family and friends. Some of my favorite moments on this show were when Mo would tee off on Mraz. Mothership's going to miss you. Hashtag RIP Big Mo. Senor Panleg tweets, simply forever in our hearts, hashtag MoStrong. Justin, thank you, Little Mo, for bringing so much joy to our, all of our lives. RIP, buddy. And thank you guys for this touching show. It's been great. Joe in Kansas City tweets, he's a true inspiration. RIP, Mo. Robin Topeka tweets, man, I love Little Mo ragging on Mraz about Chubbo Nation. There's a bunch of those moments, but that one sticks out. I laugh every time, every single time. Dominic tweets, from one lifelong Orioles fan to another, rest easy, Mo. You were an inspiration to us all, and thank you guys for the show and your relationship with Mo. Daniel tweets, I would imagine Mo was waiting for the afterlife with the same infectious enthusiasm that he had for life here on Earth. Cancer took one of the best of us. Hashtag RIP Mo. TJ tweets, I think I say our loss because we all learn from Little Mo DA. The lesson of staying positive, never forgetting to laugh, smile, and look for the good in everything. I will always think of Mo every time I see the Orioles play. Thank you, Mo. Cousin Wisco, DA, learning about Mo's journey has helped me rethink my perspective on life. Mo indirectly challenged me to be a better man. Hashtag Mo Strong. And Mike tweets, tough day. Mo showed me how to walk with my head held up high no matter what life's thrown at me. I soaked up all his words and kindness. You'll be greatly missed, little man. RIP Mo. And that's what he did. He inspired us and helped change our perspective, and he'll continue to do so. I will not forget him. I will not let this show forget him. We will honor him consistently here on the show. And when the time is right, I'll unveil how. But it's now in our DNA. Remember, man, the moment that you think life has got you by, you know what? Think about Mo. Think about his smile. Think about his laugh. And realize that is your choice, too. You can choose to be the light and to be happy and laugh for everybody else to derive that happiness from you. That's what he did for all of us. So where we usually play the epic fail, I want to play for you this amazing montage that the Baltimore Ravens put out on their Twitter page last night. Just listen to the moments that Mo had with his heroes with the Ravens. Here's the clip.
What's up, DA?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Can I get a BMO?
You know it.
Being a part of the team is nice. It's really awesome. Everybody's, like, cheering me on.
Poe! Poe! I don't speak bird, but I think he likes me.
Hey, there he is, my man. How you doing, buddy? Yes, it's great to see you.
Mo Gabba is going to be the first person to ever announce a draft pick written in Braille.
I'm ready to make history. With the 123rd pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Ben Powers, Oklahoma guard.
What's up? How you doing? You know who I am?
Ben Powers.
Here, let me get a hug. How you doing, buddy? Good. Man, you killed it. I've been wanting to talk to you since you drafted me, man. That's special.
Come on in the huddle. Come on in the huddle. Huddle. Double right, two jet alley.
Okay.
Here we go, buddy. All right. Hang it up around Mo right here. All right. Go grab Mo. Get a hand on him. Get a hand on him. Here we go.
Double right, two jet alley. Oh.
It's up in the air. It's deep. You guys, we'll get a break on Mo.
Yeah. Raise your hand up, Mo.
Put your hand up.
There we go.
Yeah, Mo.
We're going to say Mo on three. One, two, three.
Mo! Yeah, yeah,
Mo got the ultimate beam up yesterday. What a great video. You can go to the Ravens Twitter page and check out that video. It is just so special to see him laugh, smile, be giddy with all of his heroes inside the huddle. The Ravens had him call a play in training camp inside the huddle. So yesterday I will choose to remember as a wonderful day. The Orioles went to his bedside and told him that he was in their Hall of Fame. And a little bit later on in the day, after we heard the announcement, we lost Little Mo, but he was so about happiness and so about joy and laughter that that lasts forever. And selfishly, we all want him here on Earth to keep hearing that laugh, you know, but he's in a better place. He had battled cancer for 14 years, so thankfully doesn't have to do that anymore. And there's more work for him to be doing, I'm sure, upstairs. You know, I'm sure he becomes an angel on everybody's shoulder. Certainly ours here on the show. And I can't tell you how much I am thankful that he chose our show to call. You know, we're doing nights and we're having fun and we're talking sports. And then there is this amazing angel on earth that calls us and spends time with us and shares his laughter with us. And we are blessed and better off for it. So, Mo, thanks. Thanks for calling our show. Thanks for poking fun at Mraz and making us laugh. Thanks for your sports takes and thanks for your passion and thanks for just spending time with us because it made us all better. And I really appreciate everybody on this show that works with me every single day. I love these guys and I love them because they love Mo as much as I do. And I know that you guys, the listeners of the show, love Mo as much as I do as well. And that makes me feel good every single day. So yesterday was hard to hear the news, but we'll keep Mo in our hearts forever here on the show. And I know you guys will as well. And yesterday will forever be a day that I remember for Mo's laughter and spirit, because that's what everybody was so connected to. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Andrew Bogish on your headlines, and thanks to Connor Green, your associate producer. Tonight at 8 Eastern, follow me on Instagram for a cheers to Mo. The Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.